tomorrow. Ambassador College presents Garner Ted Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greetings, friends around the world. This is Garner Ted Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow. I just returned from Cape Kennedy, where I witnessed the twin launchings of the Atlas Agena missile that took a space vehicle into orbit, and then the launching of the Titan missile that sent astronaut Armstrong and Scott out into orbit. And, of course, long since you've learned that they had to abort the mission a little later on and came down in the Pacific area and safely were recovered on board a destroyer. But I went to Cape Kennedy for the express purpose of seeing with my own eyes and taking personal photographs with another professional photographer, two of them actually, on the staff of the Plain Truth magazine so our readers could see. In reading another article in the Plain Truth magazine treating with the race to conquer space, as we have often done. And the Plain Truth magazine, of course, is totally different than any other you've ever read. It gets behind the daily news and gives you the real purpose and the significance of what is happening around the world, telling you what you can expect to occur in the future. The big question today is, who will put a man on the moon first? And today the United States and the Soviet Union are locked in a desperate struggle to take giant strides toward conquering the space around the Earth and getting men on the moon and back safely. Here we are spending multiple billions of dollars on this space race, where, of course, the military considerations go far beyond the purely scientific ones, and where the outcome is one of the most awesome questions of our time. Who will reach the moon first? And, of course, the fantastic prestige that would accrue to any nation putting men on the moon and bringing them back safely is seemingly all by itself enough to justify the fantastic expenditures that are going right out of public tax money and other sources, of course, in these massive space programs. Well, as I was on the site in that beautiful blue morning on the 16th of March and watching these twin launchings and one of the most fantastic achievements of our space program, at least to date, insofar as the twin countdowns were concerned, I was certainly impressed. And there were so many impressions that I received from there that I immediately got to a tape recorder and put down some of my impressions. Now, this little tape recorder is, of course, nowhere near broadcast quality. It was a little portable one-hand tape recorder. And I have excerpts of what I said from on the site just barely after that launch of Gemini 8, to which Mr. Christofferson, staff photographer, and Mr. Clayton, another staff photographer of ours on the Plain Truth magazine, and I were attending and taking our own photographs. And so now, on this World Tomorrow program, I want you to hear a few minutes of some of the excerpts from this hand tape recorder, the little battery-operated tape recorder that I gave into the microphone from on the spot. And then just after you hear this, and I'm sure the quality won't be quite as good as you're accustomed to hearing on the World Tomorrow program, I'll be back for some further comments about the real meaning of this race to conquer space. But now, here it is from Cape Kennedy.
This is Garner Ted Armstrong speaking to you from Cape Kennedy in Florida, where only moments ago, Mr. Lyle Christofferson, staff photographer for the Plain Truth magazine, and I witnessed the liftoff of the Atlas Agena space vehicle, and only about an hour later, the liftoff of Gemini 8. We were accredited press representatives allowed into the press area number 2, and Ms. Christofferson was about 1,000 yards closer to the actual liftoff site than I. And I can only describe what occurred as being awesome, a very, very shaking experience, something that I certainly will never forget. And perhaps the most awesome part of the whole thing is realizing what kind of men these must be to strap themselves on their back over what is literally something like a huge bullet and to be shot off 150 miles and more above the Earth into an orbital pattern, putting their entire lives and their future in the hands of technologists and scientists, solenoids, wires, batteries, valves, fuel systems, the plumbing and the intricate wiring of the interior of one of these missiles and space capsules. As the time drew near for the launching of the Atlas vehicle, there was a hushed expectancy as we got close to the 10-second countdown. And then, as we began the 10-second countdown, I couldn't help but be a little bit excited about it and trying to remember the procedure on the Leica with the 200 millimeter lens that I was using to take pictures to show readers of the Plain Truth magazine our own photos of this almost miraculous launch that took place this morning. And actually, these twin launchings this morning were almost miraculous, as commented on by some of the newsmen returning to Cocoa Beach in the same bus with me, who said it was like breaking the bank at Monte Carlo as a probability that these technicians could proceed with two of the most involved and intricate countdowns simultaneously. It involved two separate crews with two separate backup crews, two completely unrelated countdowns and yet intricately integrated together, so that if anything went awry with either one, the other would be unsuccessful. And the chances of it succeeding would have been a hazardous guess prior to launch time. As a matter of fact, even the weather seemed to be a little bit miraculous, because just before the liftoff of the Gemini 8 space vehicle bearing aloft astronauts Armstrong and Scott, a layer of low cumulus clouds drifted over the Cape, but just cleared only 30 seconds or so before liftoff time, providing one of the clearest and most beautiful photographic opportunities of any liftoff, I'm sure, in the history of Cape Kennedy. One very obvious thing, looking at the mature and experienced reporters, photographers, and Air Force and NASA personnel at Cape Kennedy, was that no one, not even the lowliest bus driver or enlisted man in the service, takes one of these launchings for granted. Everyone was keyed up and tense, and there was a feeling of hushed expectancy and, of course, a sort of a prayerful hope that nothing would go wrong with these twin launchings this morning. And no one is able to take such a thing for granted, because, of course, it goes far beyond the mere fact of two human lives at stake, even though that element is constantly in your consciousness as you watch such a fantastic occurrence as this. But in addition to the possibility of something going awry and causing the death of two of our United States astronauts, there is also the fact that we are literally reaching out toward the moon, that these men are serious. They literally intend to get to the moon, and seeing this long line of gantries and these huge buildings and fantastic facilities here at Cape Kennedy makes you realize that the entire effort of the United States of America, with our fantastic technology and scientific ingenuity and ability, including the largest single industry in the United States, employing more people by itself than perhaps some of our large automobile industries put together, is all focused upon the one few moments of the launch that we saw just this morning, that the combined effort of hundreds of thousands and possibly ultimately millions of people has gone into this stuttering, guttering, low-throated roar of a rumbling boom like a series of shocking explosions, almost like hearing 20 or 30 large diesel locomotives hooked up together as one of these huge vehicles, glistening with the rays of the sun, hurtles off into space with a huge, blinding, sun-like orange trail of fire behind it. Immediately after the space shot, I returned to the news center at the John F. Kennedy Space Center and News Information Building on Cocoa Beach, and obtained a typewriter in the press room, where I did the lead-in for two articles which will appear in the current number of the Plain Truth magazine, which, by the way, is absolutely free of charge and 52 pages, full color throughout and graphically illustrated. And, of course, this number will have a number of pictures which we took ourselves here at Cape Kennedy in this launch. But the important thing that struck me was looking at these newsmen, most of them, of course, veterans, men with years of experience in reporting the news, that I began to realize, with all these dozens of individuals from such publications as Time, Life, Newsweek, Paris Match, foreign publications in nations such as Germany, India, and Japan, Great Britain, various languages you could hear here at this observation point, that nevertheless, in spite of the rush and the bustle and the clack of typewriters and this big bank of telephones to which all these men rushed immediately after the launch, that very few of these men know the real significance of the why and of the what is really happening right before their eyes. The news media of this world rush to tell the public what is happening and to get that news on the street or into your home in the form of television or radio as quickly as they possibly can. And herein is a competition of worldwide news services. And yet almost no one can tell you the real significance behind the news, the true meaning of this reach toward space, of this additional step toward the moon. Where is it taking us? Where is it headed? Where are we going? What is the end of it? Is the end in sight? These are the important questions. And I doubt very much if any of these newsmen are concerned with that, but only with an accurate and descriptive report on this fantastic achievement, purely from the standpoint of the scientific and the technological, but not taking into account where is it leading. Well, just what is the meaning of these steps toward the moon? One thing is for sure, and certainly very striking to me, being right on the spot and seeing these giant, monstrous birds hurtle off into space this way, disappearing in only moments, and to be told only about 2 minutes and a half later that they're more than 50 miles up and 50 miles away from the Cape, where only moments before they disappeared from your own vision. And that is the military implications of these space shots. To realize that somewhere, somehow, in the next few years, up to 40 different nations could have their own ballistic missiles, their own nuclear-tipped warheads in ballistic missiles mounted inside nuclear-driven submarines, and to realize that it may be possible within the next 2 to 3 decades for any number of from 3 to 5 up to 10 and more nations to possess the same advanced space age technology as is right now the United States of America, and to realize that an enemy which you may even have difficulty identifying in future years could be having just such a countdown as I have just witnessed, and they could say 3, 2, 1, ignition, liftoff, and then be congratulating each other as their bird winged its way toward the United States of America with perhaps a triloton H-bomb in its nose, and realize that half a world away, little more than 1/2 hour from the time that missile disappeared, an entire continent would be laid waste, that the course of the entirety of the Earth would be completely altered, that the course of all of humankind would be irrevocably altered, that the course of the entirety of the universe might be changed, that multiple millions, maybe hundreds of millions, maybe an entire race or a language, a human group of people would disappear from the face of the earth in one fell swoop in a huge all-consuming nuclear blast. And this is literally possible. This is not vague imagination. What I saw here this morning was not imagination. It was real. And the reality of it, the awesome reality of it, is the most impressive thing that has made this visit to Cape Kennedy so well worthwhile. You need, as never before, to find out the true significance behind this fantastic race to the moon, and to find what lies beyond the purely scientific aspects of these technological achievements, to find out what is this almost obsessive-like quality that grips the minds of men. And these are not little boys. These are not uneducated, unintelligent men in a haphazard kind of an organization. These men impress you as you talk to them as being educated, as being sharp, alert, intelligent, men of personal dynamism, men who know exactly what they're doing. But the question is, what is their literal immediate goal? What is the long-range purpose and goal? Primarily, you're told in news media, it's to further man's knowledge of his own environment, that it's just in the nature of man to want to reach out, to reach to the stars and beyond, to find out more about his environment, to find about the origin of the universe and about the origin of man upon this earth. But there is something even beyond that. It goes further than that. There is almost a spirit that seems to pervade this area and to grip these men. It's as if they are part of something that is so fantastic, so big, and so beyond the reach of the normal human mind that it's a kind of a drunkenness, a kind of an exhilaration that seems to grip them. With a successful launch, they gleefully jump up and down and slap each other on the back like a bunch of happy kids after school, from the point of view that another tremendous success has been achieved. And looking at it purely from the scientific point of view, and realizing the multiple hundreds of thousands of individuals who have had a hand in every one of these launches, the craftsmen, the engineers, the designers, the architects, the technicians, the laboratory specialists, the various skilled scientists in all the technical fields of this aerospace and space age industry of ours, and to realize what goes into everything from the processing and manufacture of these liquid oxygen fuels down to the design and the construction of the missiles themselves, and even the intricate construction of the launching pad, and everything that has to do with the mechanical and complex intricacy of this missile launching program. It's as if they're a great part of a great team that is doing a great job. But ask any one of these men, what is the overall goal? What lies beyond? And they may not be able to tell you. They simply don't know. What is the end? Where are we headed? Where is it leading us? Where do we go from here? We know the three-man Apollo project to the moon is one of the next steps. And possibly I will be here at Cape Kennedy to report on that direct from Cape Kennedy to all of you around the world, wherever you're listening. And there is only one source that will literally tell you what lies beyond. What is out there beyond the stars? What is ahead for mankind? Just where are we going? What will the next 10 years or the next 20 years bring to this Earth? Witnessing such a fantastic and a shaking sight as this was this morning, to see these twin vehicles go thundering off into space, has certainly brought home to me more than any publication ever could, more than even seeing it on television in my own living room, as so many millions of you have done, the reality of what is happening here. As never before, you need to know the why and what lies behind this fantastic effort of man to put a man on the moon and to reach out beyond into space.
Well, there you have the comment that I made from on the site at Cape Kennedy just recently at the launchings of Gemini 8 and the Atlas Agena space vehicle, which is still swinging around the Earth in orbit over your head. And those questions I asked are still very, very important. Just what is ahead? And who is going to win the race to conquer space? That's one of the biggest questions to your life today, and it's about time you began to face the answer squarely, because believe it or not, there is a source to which you can go that gives you the outcome in advance. It has already been decided who is going to rule space. The outcome is already revealed in advance. And when I tell you the source of that outcome, it's going to be so shocking that you probably will not believe it. But nevertheless, you can prove it to yourself one way or the other. And you don't need to let other people do your thinking for you about that. Now, believe it or not, there is a definite source to which you can go that gives you tangible answers about this fantastic age in which you live that deals precisely with this moment in this era, in this mid-60s space age. And that source is Bible prophecy, as shocking as that sounds. One-third of the Bible is prophecy. Most all of that prophecy deals with today and with the years just ahead of us, and deals deliberately and specifically with this space age and with the outcome of this fantastic race to rule the world. Because, of course, that's what the race is all about. It's not only wandering around in space, it's also a race to conquer and to rule this Earth. And military men know that the first nations to achieve the tremendous step forward of building space platforms, now being able then to send astronauts, or cosmonauts, as they call them in the Soviet Union, up to these space platforms with space tools and space parts, and to enlarge and, of course, to completely alter or supply these space platforms so that then men could use them as additional launching pads to go on toward the moon and beyond, that the first nation to achieve such a thing would have made such a giant stride toward the literal conquering of this Earth that it would be simply decisive, that no other nation would dare challenge the power of the nation to put men on space platforms, or, above all things, on the moon with moon bases. No nation would dare challenge such fantastic power. And that is precisely what is behind, whether admitted or not, whether consciously thought of or not, whether necessarily admitted in publications or over the air or not, that is nevertheless a very obvious reason for this fantastic space race of today. Now it's about time you began to prove a few things to yourself. Is there a God? Is the Bible His Word? You need to write for these booklets, Does God Exist? And the proof of the Bible, and find out. And it doesn't matter whether or not you believe it, because what's going to happen is going to happen, and you can't change it. You know, that's one thing that struck me on the site, was the inexorable, no turning back, inevitability of what was going on. And as that countdown proceeded, and then we saw these billowing, white, orange, glaring clouds of smoke issue from the tail of that giant missile, and saw it thunder off that pad. You know, the thought that it's too late to turn back now. You might remember the song years ago, Please, Mr. Custer, I Don't Want to Go. But you know, if that astronaut would have said, say, fellas, pardon me, but I've decided I don't want to go. I'm scared. Let me out. It would have been just a little bit too late. That's a rather inexorable occurrence when you see a giant Titan thunder off a launching pad out in space. And you know, there just is no turning back. Well, now, it's about time you find out for yourself just what it all means and come down off the fence of doubt and wonderment and indecision and begin to prove a few things to yourself. Because we are inexorably going toward a decisive crossroads in this mammoth space program that is going to lead us toward one thing or another. Either
travel to the outer limits of this solar system and eventually into the universe and beyond. What lies beyond, no one knows. Or else, toward the total destruction of all humankind on the face of this earth. Now I began to wonder and muse, as I've written in an article which is appearing in the current number of the Plain Truth magazine, just what are these men thinking? I had about an hour and a half between the launching of the Atlas Agena and then the launching later of the Titan that was bearing Gemini 8 aloft. And I was thinking, what kind of men are these over there that are already reported to be inside that space capsule? What are they thinking? What are they doing? And then I began to realize, well, they're not thinking. That's just the point. They're not thinking in the sense that you and I might have been thinking. If you were watching it on television, or as I was standing there with my Leica M2 and 200mm lens and making sure for about the 10th time that my settings were correct and checking the light meter and so on, I was musing. I was thinking. I was, let's say, thinking philosophically about what they were thinking. They weren't doing this. Their minds were totally on their jobs. They were thinking only about their instruments, about their various systems, their step-by-step functions they had so carefully rehearsed for so many months and weeks until it was so thoroughly ingrained in them it was a very part of their being. Truthfully, they weren't, in the sense that we mean it, thinking. They were now performing. They were now doing. This was a time in which they had not a moment to muse or to let their minds wander philosophically about what was happening around them or to them. What kind of men are these, I wondered? Well, I'll tell you. These are dedicated men. These are trained, qualified, competent men. These are men with a vision, a bright, intense, urgent goal before them. And you know, the thought came that these men aren't playing. These aren't a bunch of toys over there. These men are deadly serious. These men are going to the moon. And you know, standing there on that site and in this glittering sunshine, seeing to my left this giant building about 500 feet high, this great, huge, one of the largest buildings on the face of the earth, this huge building to launch the huge Saturn missile toward the moon. And to realize that these men are seriously going to go to that familiar old crescent, which I could glance up and see, and somehow it seemed a lot closer than it ever had before when you see that stark line of reddish gantries marching like mute sentinels down the line of that brush-covered narrow sandy sand spit, or this beach that we call Cape Kennedy. And yet you see them all pointed out toward space, and you hear one of these giant rockets go guttering off into space, and it makes such a fantastic sound. I was trying my best to describe it. I wish I could have gotten some sound that I could have put on the World Tomorrow program for you to hear it. It's like a series of sharp clapping explosions, like a stuttering staccato series of blasts, rather than the dull continuous throb that you might expect like out of large jet engines. But when you see these buildings and these missiles aimed skyward, you know these men mean what they're doing. And they talk with confidence. They ooze knowledge of their job. They move about in alert, crisply active, dynamically living form. They know exactly where they're going. And yet, beyond it all, do they know where they're going? You hear the most wild predictions about the American or any other space program, about what we can expect in the next 10 years, and it sounds so fantastic. And really, when you get right down to it, they talk about space vehicles traveling out through space with people being born, growing up, and then reproducing children, living to old age and dying, and then several generations going by before a space vehicle could then land on some other planet and then take off on yet another journey. And what have they accomplished? And you begin to wonder, well, why? Just so we can say we've been there, so we can say we get there? Really, it's not that clear to define. No one really knows. They keep talking about the acquisition of knowledge, about the origin of the universe, about our environment, about what's around us. And yet these men are absolutely dedicated to their purpose. Just what is their purpose? Well, we're not too sure. To learn more about our environment, to advance man's knowledge, to learn about the composition of other planets, about the possibility of life on other planets, and so on. But obviously the tremendously important nationalistic goals are a prime consideration, and the overwhelming geopolitical prize of victory will go to the first nation to succeed in putting men on the moon and bringing them back alive. And I'll tell you again, as I have before, that the far-reaching military consequences of such a feat are so much more urgently important to the massive expenditures in these space programs than the purely scientific considerations, that there is simply no comparison. Now, you reduce it to simple terms, and without pulling any punches, you really admit the truth to yourself about what you see happening before you. And you realize that rulership of this Earth is at stake. And any earthly nation which could master the first space platform and then prove themselves capable of sending men to the moon and getting them back alive is going to achieve such an overwhelming psychological victory. So as to practically put rulership of this Earth, I mean it, I'm not pulling punches or saying anything sensational in any sense of the word, that rulership and complete and total philosophical, political, and military dominance of this Earth will be the next step, and not the next step to the stars. The next step from the moon will be right back down to this Earth, and you can bank on that. Now, conversely, you see people who have a goal that is so far beyond that of these astronauts, so that there is no comparison. And that goal is also rulership of this Earth. A goal that has been set before them and laid out in the Bible, as shocking as that may sound, as old and as archaic and as bearded and as out of date as that may appear to people today, nevertheless, it's absolutely true that the goal that has been set before you and before me is so much greater, so much more staggering than the goal that is before these astronauts that there is simply no comparison. And it's about time you began to give it the time of day and look into it, and to put as much diligence, as much zeal, as much dedication, as much self-sacrifice, time and effort, as much study into that goal that is more lasting and more important by far than these men do in this temporary goal of another step toward the moon. You need to write for this free, full-color booklet, brand new booklet of ours that tells about the Russian soft landing on the moon, the latest acquisition of space knowledge. It shows a picture of this huge building that we have seen right over here at Cape Kennedy. It shows you all the latest achievements of both the United States and Soviet Russia in this fantastic space race, and it tells you the outcome in advance. It tells you that the decision has already been made, that the die has been cast, that the winners of the space race have already been decided. And that booklet is entitled, Who Will Rule Space? Because rulership of space has already been decided, and you need to find out who. It's certainly going to dramatically alter the course of your life. It's about time you looked into it. Now, in the current number of the Plain Truth magazine will be pictures from on the site of our own photographers, and hopefully, if I had any come out right, I'm going to show you some that I took myself. And also an article written primarily from the site and finished at Big Sandy in Texas in the Plain Truth magazine on this latest Gemini 8 space shot, even though it was aborted over the Pacific, and the meaning and going beyond. Some of the things you've heard in this program, but of course, much more so, and I attempt to describe it in terminology that might make it a little more real to you than I've been able to in these brief few moments on this broadcast. Now, the Plain Truth magazine, 52 pages, packed from cover to cover with color pictures, full color cover, absolutely free of charge, no advertising, no follow-up of any kind. Articles pull no punches, straight from the shoulder, telling you the real meaning of today's fantastic world and these events day by day, but from the point of view of Bible prophecy. All you need to do to receive your free copy of the booklet, Who Will Rule Space, the one on Does God Exist, and the Proof of the Bible, another important booklet, Why Were You Born?, and the current number of the Plain Truth magazine, is to send your letter to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. Be sure to tell us the call letters of your station, the radio station to which you're listening. That's important, but of course there is no price, no cost for the magazine or the booklets. The address again in just a moment, and so until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow. Send your letters to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California.